B-Pod Studios.
All right, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Felger and Maz here at 98.5, a sports hub. Both of my radio dads are off today, so you have me, Jim Murray, in the A-hole chair, flanked by Ty Anderson in the Maz chair. Hi, Ty.
What's going on?
And the Iron Fist in the Velvet Glove, as I like to call him, Matt McCarthy in my normal spot. Hello, fellas. That was ESPN's Jackie McMullen giving you her thoughts on the current state of the Boston Celtics after last night's NBA draft, and also asking you, the Celtics fan, how's your week, huh? I don't feel great right now for the Celtics and how this whole thing is seemingly imploded in the last 12 months or so. That, along with literally anything else from the week, and I mean that, literally anything else, because with me here manning the ship today, there's only so much minutia that I can deal with when it comes to certain things like, oh, I don't know, the Red Sox season and baseball as a whole and the NBA draft. So whatever you'd like to talk about, it's all on the table because it's an agenda-free Friday, which means that you, the people, set the conversation at 617-77, right? Yeah, I almost thought about giving out my cell phone number, 617-779-0985.
You should do a good start.
That would have been a massive mistake. 617-779-0985. Agenda Free Fridays, by the way, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, Bernardi Auto Group. .com. In the meantime, if you know how Agenda Free Friday works, fellas, you know how this goes. While I clean obsessively here and try to get all the germs off the microphone and everything else.
You are becoming Felger. I'm watching this right now in absolute, like, I'm stunned right now watching this.
I have this anyway. Like, I've always, like, I'm the type of person, it's one of the great things about being a tall, if you go to the mall or any place where, you know, the public goes at large, I always open doors, like, as high as I possibly can. I'll grab a toilet paper or, a piece of paper towel in the men's room and open the door with that and then just drop it because it's someone else's problem now. Like, I have that kind of OCD thing going on when it comes to germs. So, while I clean obsessively, we deliver our opening thoughts. Who wants to go first? McCarthy? Ty?
In typical Felger and Maz fashion, I will defer my opening take to Ty Anderson.
Go, Ty, go.
So, last night, watching this draft, I walked away from it saying, I love this. And I love this because I'm a psycho. And I'm happy that the Celtics are clearly no longer going to be held hostage by a superstar player. I understand that's how you win in today's league. I totally understand that. But living the Kyrie Irving year that we just lived was one of the worst years I've ever experienced as a Celtics fan. And watching that team and the will he, won't he was just so exhausting. It was exhausting by January. And then when they got out of the playoffs, I was like, oh, thank God, finally, this is over. And now, last night, you get the confirmation from Wick Grosbeck talking on NBC Sports Boston that they're building or retooling. You're not building or retooling if you have Kyrie Irving. So he's gone. They're starting over. The picks they made, they're all good people. That's what you hear about them. They're good leaders. They're good presence. You need that, I think, now. If you're gonna fully start over, get rid of it completely.
Yeah, that's one of the things I took from last night. They're definitely going in a direction of, like, no a-holes. Like, I think that they're right to be fed up with what they had to deal with last year with Kyrie Irving, who obviously was the proverbial turd in the punch bowl. Matt McCarthy.
I was struck by what Wick Grosbeck said last night. They're retooling, essentially admitting that they're rebuilding, which is not exactly what you heard from the Celtics at all leading up to the draft. It was a typical Boston Celtics lead up to the draft. Hey, something big is coming. Gary Washburn, Bradley Beal, they're going to trade for a veteran star, or they're going to move up the draft board like we've heard a million times before. And people ate it up again. You fools. You absolute fools, green teamers. How did you possibly eat that stuff up again? Because the Celtics for years have told you that they're going to do something big on draft night. I heard it with Jimmy Butler. They were going to trade up for Justice Winslow. Instead, they end up with Terry Rozier and RJ Hunter and the rest. How many times have you heard that from the Celtics? And they do nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I give the Celtics credit on this. They're geniuses. They're absolute geniuses. They don't want to sell a rebuild to you, even though that's what Wick said, I think, accidentally last night. They want to give you the grandiose idea. They want to give you the great thought that they're going to just build this back on the fly. That's not happening. But you people, you green teamers, ate it up yesterday. Again, you sheep. Bah. Wow. Bah. Bah. Bah.
My thing with
sheep.
Thank you, McCarthy. I think quite a harsh critique of the Celtics fans. I see you've been influenced by Adam Jones too with the velvet glove.
Doesn't it happen every single year, Jim? Yeah. How many times have you heard the Celtics are going to do something big on draft night? And what did they do? They do exactly what they did last night. Not that that's a bad approach. That's fine. Just say you're going to do it. But no, they know the Celtics fans will eat it up. So they give it to him. And the Celtics fans say, thank you. Thank you very much.
The Iron Fist and the Velvet Glove. You never see it coming with McCarthy. It's the dulcet tones. And then he starts talking and saying what he says. It's like, oh, this guy's kind of an a-hole. My thing was, I was just surprised that how angry people were. And I'm kind of with you on this, Matt. Looking at that last night, like, what the hell did people expect? What fireworks did you expect to happen?
Well, they expected it because the Celtics basically said it was going to happen. How many reports were there that they were going to trade for a veteran or move up? This is what they always do on draft night. They keep saying it.
Yeah, well, if you want to weigh in on the NBA draft, I want to get to, of course, Jimmy Stewart, our executive producer behind the glass, along with Billy Lanny, too. I know you were first, at least to me, at least in my timeline, Jimmy, you were first with the Aaron Baines news. What did you make of all this last night?
I think the Celtics are trying to change culture in the room, and I think they're trying to long play for the next big move. I think we're going to see a move soon, and I don't know what that move is, that is going to make people go, why did they just trade for Wally Szczerbiak? And the answer is, it's going to be a cap spot to get to the next guy, whoever that is. Maybe it's Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe it's another one of Matt McCarthy's fun hype machine players. I'm not sure right now, but I think mainly they're going for a culture rebuild right now.
Even if that's Nick Vucevic, I mean, I think you'll get a competitive team. I think you would have still, like, I just didn't want to see them make any kind of parallel moves where they were going to move any of these picks or try to make a move that, at least perception-wise, was going to be like, oh, okay, we got a name again. Maybe that was trading for a Bradley Beal. Or,
well, you know. I think that they drafted players last night to move somewhere else. And if that's Clint Capella, which I think it could be, I don't know is that a needle-moving move?
No, and I don't think really anything that they could do right now is. So maybe that's why people are so upset, and I get that, based on all of the hype over the last couple of years, what the expectations were of last year, how disappointing everything was, considering you had legitimate superstars, at least on the surface, and Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and we got the awful season that we got. But with the way that it's all set up now, like, why all the anger? This is what it is. This is why I've come to the acceptance of the situation. This, I know what this team is going to be here for the foreseeable future. All I'm doing is crossing my fingers and hoping that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown actually become what we hope that they will become.
Jim, I just think, in my opinion, the reason why people are angry is because we all expected them at the very least to be in the NBA Finals this year against the Warriors. And maybe they have a chance of winning it. I thought on paper they should have beaten the Warriors. It didn't happen. And now they're hitting the reset button, and they should be hitting the reset button, but I don't think that people are ready to accept the reset button being hit right now.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the things that's great about sports. Sports can teach you life lessons, and I hope that you Celtics fans have actually got life lessons.
Jim, they should have been set up for 10 years.
Yeah, should have been.
10 years.
Should have been.
We should have been talking about this team as a championship contender. 10.
Should have been.
And it's not happening.
But not. And they've now given you a lesson in disappointment. This is why I go through life aiming low. Aim low, people. You'll be less disappointed in everyday life. Now I won't be disappointed in the Celtics because my bar is set just about, oh, yay high. So anything that they do this year, oh, it's good to me. Just put out a competitive, good product where you actually try and give effort night in, night out, because that was certainly missing with last year's team, and that got annoying. Like you said, by January, Ty, you kind of knew, oh, this season sucks. They're not going to do anything.
Yeah, and that's sort of my whole point is I'm happy they didn't trade for Bradley Beal. I'm going against McCarthy here. I didn't want a guy like that because you know what that guy
was. I never said I wanted a guy like that.
But that's the guy they're going to get if they're going to get a guy, right? It was going to be because they're not going to get Karl Anthony Towns with the 14th, 20th, and 22nd pick and then whatever you want to do with besides Tatum. They weren't going to get that guy. So I'd rather just roll with these guys, let them take 20 shots a game for the first time in their entire careers and see what happens.
Yep. All right, to you we go. 617-779-0985.
It'll be 15.
Again, agenda-free Friday. You set the topic. We follow your lead. That's pretty much how it goes here on Felger and Maz. With no Felger and no Maz
today. The open shooter is the right shooter, Ty.
Derek and Foxborough, you're first up here on an agenda-free Friday. Hey, Derek.
Yeah, I think it was a good draft for the Celtics. You know, I know Felger says, you know, do high school basketball on your own time, but this Romeo kid was the number 3 ranked player coming out of high school. Only Zion and that R.J. Barrett were ranked ahead of him, and he had a down college year, so teams kind of soured on him. But I think this kid could be a superstar.
Derek, well, thank you very much for the call. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know all that much about these players, something that seemingly pissed off a fair amount of people last night, at least in my Twitter timeline, because I made the mistake of retweeting the CBS Sports clip of Carson Edwards, who they took at 33.
Oh, that's mini Isaiah Thomas to everybody.
Yeah, well, I tweeted, oh, well, I'm certainly into this highlight reel, hot damn, because it's just one big shot after another. He's hitting like half-court three-point shots, and a few people are like, oh, oh, of course you didn't watch this game. Yeah, rightfully so, because I don't care about the tournament other than watching Zion Williamson rip people apart. That's the thing. Unless you're like appointment viewing for me with college basketball, I'm not going to watch. Do that on your own time, like Derek and Foxborough just said. Certain thing. There's only so much time in life for me to watch all this crap. So yeah, I don't know much about the players that they drafted last night. I'm just hoping that they end up turning out okay. That's it. That's all any of us can do. And you know who else doesn't know really all that much about them? The guy selecting them. Otherwise, they would have made picks before in the past and taken Giannis, who ended up going, what, 15th in that draft, or someone like Pascal
Siakam. They traded up to get Kelly Olynyk, not Giannis.
They don't know. Nobody knows. So, yeah, I think it's a good night. What the hell did you expect last night? You people, at this point, like, you expect fireworks? There's no more fireworks to be had. Anthony Davis is in L.A. You missed out on the big fish. This is what it is now. Calm, cool reasoning is how you should approach the Celtics. Hope for the best. Hope for the best for the kids and that they end up becoming a contender again in the next few years. Because for the foreseeable future, at least, at the very least, next season, they're not going to compete for a title.
Jim, in 3 years, we're going to look back at this NBA draft and say it was one of the worst in NBA history. That's a prediction.
Well, so many people just call it a two-player draft with Zion and John.
Zion
Morant.
Will be a bust. Mark my words.
Oh, I hope not. I kind of, though, if nothing else, the one thing I really did like about last night, just as an aside, I like him. I like everything about that kid, and I don't think that those were crocodile tears or anything like that. That's something that was a big moment for Zion Williamson. I think that actually emanated through the television, and that's something that kid had dreamed about since he was a boy, and he got to that point and, you know, thanked his mom and did all that. Like, I don't know. He comes off as genuine to me. I hope that the league ultimately becomes Zion's within the next handful of years, and he is, you know, the next transformative talent like LeBron James. All right, that's enough from us. Let's get to you at 617-779-0985. We're off and running here on Agenda-Free Friday. No Felger, no Maz. It's Jim Murray, Ty Anderson, and Matt McCarthy in for the guys today here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports
Hub. I'm excited about our team going forward. I like where we're headed. I like the core young group of guys, and I think it's going to be really fun. I think we're going to be a really competitive team again. And I don't know what exactly the team is going to look like when it's all done, but free agency starts in 10 days or so, and we'll have more answers then. But I really like the core group of players that we have.
You take him at his word, Celtics fans. That is President of Basketball Ops Danny Ainge talking after last night's draft. Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub simulcast, NBC Sports Boston. No Felger, no Maz today. It's Jim Murray, Ty Anderson, and Matt McCarthy. You got Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass. Now, granted, you got to take that with the knowledge of knowing that the man just unfortunately had his second heart attack, and, you know, we hope that he's recovered well. It sounds like that he has, but he does still fought. So maybe that's why he sounded a little bit down still. Maybe his energy level isn't where it was, you know, pre-heart attack, but I don't know. Did that sound like a guy who's really pumped about the core going forward?
He was pretty testy in that interview. I don't know. Did you watch any of it? He was pretty much, because people were trying to ask him about, like, you know, Kyrie and Al, and he's like, I can't talk about this right now with you. And, like, there was one question.
Guys, I'm trying to enjoy the night. Don't bring up the a-holes.
Yeah, and well, there was one Al, point where Kyrie. Gary Washburn was asking a question, and he's like, Gary, what are you trying to ask me? Like, he just kind of, like, he rushed him along there. So, yeah, a little testy from Ainge. I think he understands the situation they're in, and now they're in a situation in which we go from that 10-year window McCarthy talked about to maybe we can get Nick Vucevic in town if we offer the right amount of money and see how that goes. So I think he's dealing with the reality of the situation, but he's also trying not to close any doors right now, and because that's how he operates. We know this now.
Yeah, whether or not he likes the core moving forward, this is the core moving forward. The best course of action, again, and Jim, you've made the point, if you're looking at it realistically, is to stick with the kids, accumulate assets, basically do what they did before they went out and got Kyrie Irving, which is why I find it so ridiculous that we keep hearing reports that the Celtics are going to have this big, grandiose draft night. They're going to move up to four. They're going to trade for Bradley Beal. They're going to do something. I find that ridiculous because if you look at it totally seriously and honestly, this was the best course of action for them.
Why even
spin it to us like that? Why even make the suggestion? There's no need to get anybody's hopes up. This is where they are. It's okay to admit it. That's fine. Just move on.
Danny and Methuen, what did you make of last night's draft for the Celtics?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, well, the draft was okay. I do like that Carson Edwards kid. I think he's actually going to turn out to be pretty good, at least off the bench. I do like that we have $30 million to spend. What do you think we're going to do with it? Do you think if we get a superstar to pair with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that's going to be, at least somewhat a contender to at least make it back to the Eastern Conference Finals? What do you guys think?
Again, there's been rumors. So I think it was Shams of the Athletic saying that they may target Nick Vucevic if he decides not to go back to Orlando. One of the things I read it on NBC Sports Boston late last night that I kind of would find somewhat detestable is that they would take a bad contract so that they can, what, Jimmy? Like, they would bring in a Hassan Whiteside or bring Kelly Olynyk
back? So in the
back.
Same way that the Nets ended up with D'Angelo Russell for taking a draft, it was something about Brook Lopez's contract and getting D'Angelo Russell so that the Lakers could have cap space. The Kings and the Sixers did a similar deal because the Kings wanted to get Rajon Rondo and somebody else. So they traded bad contracts to the Sixers for unprotected draft picks. And of course, that fell apart. So the Sixers got all this draft capital.
Yeah, I get it. Like, this is towards the build towards the future.
Well, in the same way, I don't think that the Celtics got up to four because they didn't want to take Solomon Hill's contract, which was $12 million for 1 year.
Okay. I would hate to see some like hack here.
But the question is, Jim, to me, do you take a bad 1 year contract so that you're writing a player a check instead of writing the NBA a check to get to the salary cap floor and tell me what the cost is and maybe you do it?
Now I'm already getting, my back's getting up. Like, this is the NBA minutia stuff that makes me crazy. Like, talking about stuff like the Rose Rule and having to do all the math. Don't make me do math of how to figure things out. The NBA is the worst with this crap. Like, oh, well, you got to be able to get to the floor. I don't know. Figure it out. Get your cocktail napkin and figure it out for me, Jimmy. I'm not doing
it. It's right over here to my left. Standby.
I know this, though. One of the things that pissed off a lot of Celtics fans last night was a certain player that dropped. And, boy, like, he dropped like a stone. That would be one Bull Bull. Jim in Jersey, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's what my subject is. Bull Bull dropped, because the medicals on him must have been bad. But in the second round, the Celtics could have taken him. There was no risk. There was no financial obligation. I don't know why they didn't do it.
He dropped, too, and thanks for the call, Jim, to 44. It got to the point, and they kept showing him, like, he's there in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. Again, like he just mentioned, there was talk early. He could have been a top 10, even a top 5 lottery pick. You start to feel sad for Bull Bull. He looked like a little bit bummed. And when the microphone and camera was stuck in his face, when he finally did get selected and then traded to the Denver Nuggets, poor bastard, he's like, I'll just try to make these teams pay. And what are you going to bring to the NBA? Well, you've seen my YouTube highlights. Okay. But it does sound like Bull Bull dropped from a lot of teams. After workouts and interviews, teams questioning his basketball IQ, his work ethic, his attitude, and all this. If nothing else, like, I don't know what he's going to end up, whether or not he pans out in the NBA. He should fire his representation. That I do know. For that kid to be talked about in the top 10, and I know he had the foot injury or whatever it was when he was at Oregon this year that kind of, ultimately altered his draft stock. But he should fire his representation because they absolutely knew that this was coming. Like, that kind of dropped last night, and they didn't prepare the poor kid for it. So at the very least, don't have him in the building so the camera is stuck in his face and it embarrasses him. Or even worse, they didn't know, which means they're inadequate. Like, if I'm Bull Bull, the first thing I do before I start, lacing them up and getting ready to play for Denver next year, I fire my agents because they came off as complete idiots last night. I legitimately felt bad for the kid.
Did you want him, though?
I wasn't one of those people that was horny for him. I know Wallach was. Jimmy, you were, right?
I was. I saw in a draft that I think is a bunch of role players, take a chance on a guy who's 7'3", is raw, can shoot the three ball a little bit, and work with him. I think the reason why he dropped so much is there's a medical issue somewhere, and his ethic has been questioned both offensively and defensively. So he's got a low motor, as they would say.
Yeah, I mean, I know his ability to shoot the three. I also watch some of those YouTube highlights, and it's like, oh, okay. But again, it's highlights, so you're not going to see the bad in the guy's game. But at the very least, in terms of upside, we're talking about, at least from those that cover the league and know what the hell they're talking about, or at least watch college hoops, we're talking about Bull Bull being a top 10 pick, or even, in the top five when you saw Mox, you know, 5-6 months ago, or at least before that injury, and he drops to 44. I don't know. Typically, that feels like to me like a Danny Ainge type of guy. Like, you know,
it's especially like second round pick at 33. The contract is non-guaranteed. Could have been there.
It's what they did with Robert Williams last year.
I'll take Edwards over Bol Bol though every time.
And everybody loved the Time Lord who can't even show up to his media call or his practice on time.
All right, well, Scott.
But hey, that's the steal of last year's draft.
Jimmy's mad. McCarthy seems indifferent, or at least a little bit pissed, or is laughing at you, the Celtics fans. And Ty Anderson loves last night's draft. I just look at it and say again, like, what the hell did you expect?
It's a culture change, man.
Yeah, this is it. This is what
Indiana.
It's, be, yeah.
It's an Indiana party, by the way, between Bill. Langford, Edwards, Stevens. It's Indiana. This is the Indiana Celtics right now. Yeah, it's great.
We're all hickory. I know one person that's going to love that. That's Brad Stevens. Scott in Connecticut, you're next here on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Mass. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Three things real quick. If we could all just slow down on this Romeo love, just keep in mind that he couldn't take a blue blood program to the tournament, for Christ's sakes. Number two, I think, Chase, too, I think we share a brain. Zion's the third best player in this draft. Barrett's the best player by far. He averaged 20 in the ACC as a freshman without being the primary ball handler or the
I lost you on that, Scott, but it seems like he agrees with your sentiment.
Yeah, I think Barrett will be the best player to come out of this draft. I think Zion has bust written all of them.
Really?
All over him.
I know he's got to work on his outside shot, but that kind of body, again, to me, I'm old enough to remember. You are, too. Like, he's Larry Johnson. That's what he reminds me of, and I thought Larry Johnson
was good. He's not as good as LJ was.
Really? Well, that's at least what my hope is. I don't know. I like the kid. I hope that it works. And certainly, considering everything that's gone the Pelicans' way, and that draft was obviously rigged, the NBA certainly needs that team to, you know, finally pop. You know, any of these teams where they're Memphis, Atlanta, like, I think it is set up a little bit right now where those teams, at least from a youth standpoint, if those kids actually pop early, like, you know, the league needs that. I would like to see some of these outposts where normally people don't give a rat's ass about actually become watchable. You know, some of these games, it's like, oh, God.
Zion Williamson reminds me of Clarence Weatherspoon.
Refresh me.
He was a ninth overall pick of the 76ers in 92.
He was named
Baby Barkley.
It's not a real person.
Yeah, I thought it was an actor from like a 90s comedy or something.
Nickname the Spoon.
John in Stoughton on the Celtics draft. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just think that the reason Danny Ainge is all, you know, angry and everything is because, you know, you've been talking for years about, oh, fireworks, 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 but really it's just been a bridge team to a middling team. It's like, you know, it's a bridge to the middle kingdom. It's going nowhere, and I don't think we're going to be a championship caliber team for at least another couple years.
Yeah, and that's what it's unfortunate because, again, this is where I do understand. I'm not going to sit here and be naive. I know where the anger comes from because the expectations going into last year that they were going to get to the finals, have a competitive finals. Hell, Jimmy thought they were going to beat the Golden State Warriors. It did look like that, and it wasn't just us locally. National NBA writers had the Celtics coming out of the East. It was a foregone conclusion, but we missed a lot of the warning signs early, and they came early. Hell, even as early as preseason. I think it was the second game, maybe against Charlotte.
They're up by 20, then they lost.
And Brad Stevens is saying we're not as good as we think we are. You know, if we weren't ramping up into the Patriot season at that time, maybe we would have paid better attention to that. We probably should have. So I understand that. The expectations were very, very high. It didn't work out that way. And now, at least for the next few years, they look like a middler, unless Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum turn into all-star, all NBA type players in the next few years. And they can. I think that there is upside there if they can get their head straight, especially Jason Tatum. But you got to keep your fingers crossed.
But yeah. I believe that a middling team in the Eastern Conference can get there. I really do believe that. If they can make one addition here, they could be as good as anyone in the East. Because besides the Bucks, because we don't know what's happening with Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think the Bucks are the clear one, even if they end up losing. You know,
no, 100%. So you go beyond that though. Toronto's probably going to lose Kawhi. So if that happens, they're back down.
Yeah,
like there's really no superpower in the East, especially if Durant's going to miss next year. And if he goes to Brooklyn or New York, it's relevant. If Kyrie goes to Brooklyn and doesn't bring somebody with him, he's in a worse situation than he was here, which I don't know why people aren't talking about that more. But so I think the Celtics, if they develop these kids properly and they add one piece, they could be a contender. I really do believe that, as crazy as that may sound.
Matt McCarthy's got your Sports Hub headlines, and then back to you here on Agenda Free Friday. You want to join the show, 617-779-0985. It's Jim Murray and Ty Anderson in for Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mez.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the GM of the year is Don Sweeney. This is Don Sweeney's first NHL award. He is the first Bruins general manager to win this award since it debuted in 2010.
Yeah, you gotta bump those beats when you win an award at the NHL Awards Gala earlier this week in Las Vegas. Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Ty Anderson in for Felger and Maz. Matt McCarthy in my normal spot. And you at 617-779-0985. It's an agenda-free Friday. You set the agenda, but we play that because, Ty, you were a little bit surprised that Don Sweeney was named the NHL GM of the Year. Why?
Yeah, so this happens, and my first reaction immediately was, why? Like, he didn't have a third-line center for over half the season. He didn't get a second-line right winger for the entire season. They're still looking for that top-six winger. They still are. It's been 5 years now of them looking for this player. They still don't have him. So for him to get GM of the Year, I just walked away from that saying, well, that's an odd move.
But what about the trade deadline moves, especially when people like myself and others were saying, they should get Wayne Simmonds. Why not Wayne Simmonds? Rah, rah. Trade deadline moves work out.
Did they?
I mean, look, they didn't ultimately win the cup, but as far as they got, and granted, things went their way in the Eastern Conference. We can all agree with that. But I don't know, Ty.
The coil move worked.
I'm quick to be critical, but I think he had a good year. The Halak move was a good year in taking some of the pressure off of Tuukka Rask. Mike talked about this yesterday, and I get his point maybe more than anything else. That it's like, unless you win it, you shouldn't get the hardware. Like, I do kind of agree with that. Like, I don't know, you win all this other ancillary stuff, it just feels like blech. Without the Stanley Cup and you hoisting the championship, like, I don't know. It does kind of irk me a little bit. But I don't know. I thought that he had a good year. Who else would have been more deserving, I guess, is the better question.
Doug Wilson, the guy who wasn't even nominated from San Jose. He pulls off a trade for Erik Karlsson. He keeps Vander Kane. He adds Gustav Nyquist. I thought he was the guy that really should have been GM of the Year. I thought that the moves he made, he swindled Ottawa by getting Mike Hoffman, then immediately flipped Hoffman to Florida for a better return. They dumped Ottawa with some bad contracts on the way. Doug Wilson, I think, should have been the guy. But my issue with Sweeney being the guy is the fact that I look at what he didn't do in the summer. He didn't maximize the value on some of these prospects that we've since learned can't play in the NHL. He didn't throw any of those guys into a trade and get something of real value. He didn't listen for Halak in the free agent additions. He didn't do the things that everyone acknowledged in June and July as obvious glaring needs for this team. So to get Coyle, Coyle's been great. Coyle's fine. They still don't get a second-line right wing. And you can argue, and I would argue, that they lost the Stanley Cup because they didn't have a second-line right wing. They didn't. That line was a ghost, so you relied on the first line, which was a ghost as well. So they never fixed that issue. So that's my problem with that. And also, this is a team that regularly scratched about $10 million in Don Sweeney signings. Like, back at $6 million.
Yeah.
John Moore, $2.75 million on a five-year deal for some insane reason. Matt Beleski retained salary on the trade to New York, $1.9 million. The Jimmy Hayes buyout. So yeah, Sweeney made some good moves, but there's a lot of negatives with Don Sweeney as well. So I thought that was an odd win for him, but I don't vote on these things.
I find it refreshing, Ty, because as someone who is, I think, one of the card carrying members of the Boohoo Tuukka crew who will defend him till the death, it's nice to see you critical about the Bruins. Go ahead, Matt.
Just because you knocked it out of the park,
fight you now.
Just because you knocked it out of the park at the deadline doesn't excuse your lack of action before that. Last summer, outside of the Halak signing, which granted helped them in the regular season, didn't help them at all in the playoffs. Last summer was bad for Don Sweeney. He did not address any of the issues on this team. It's the full year that you need to take into account. Sure, he was great at the deadline. I mean, they don't make Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final without Coyle, without Johansson. That third line was great. It was their best line, probably, for the majority of the playoffs, and Sweeney made those additions. He deserves credit for that. But the fact that he didn't address the real issues on this team before the season started, you absolutely have to take that into account. You're exactly right, Ty. If they have a second-line right wing, something they have needed for years that he has failed to address, they probably win the Stanley Cup. If they had somebody else instead of David Backes, if you had, hey, I don't know, you know, given up a prospect to find somebody to take on that money, which you should still do, you would have had more flexibility to add the second line right wing. That's absolutely on Don Sweeney.
Well, Don Sweeney's back to work tonight as
maybe
the NHL draft starts up. Kyle in Belmont wants to talk about that. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Hey, so this is I don't know how to word this, really, but real quick, my draft question is, for Ty, do you guys think that maybe it's time to find not really a Tuukka replacement, but maybe to draft a goalie just in case? Because, you know, Halak isn't exactly 20 years old, and Tuukka's no young buck anymore either. And as far as I know, there's no one in Providence who's really ready to take up the mantle once Tuukka's done in the next couple of years. So I don't know. Maybe they go goalie if there's any worth taking with the 30th pick, or maybe they go with another defenseman or a winger. I don't know. I just want to get your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
How do they approach the draft tonight, at least with that first pick that they have at 30?
Yeah, so I don't think there's going to be a goalie there available for them. Spencer Knight is kind of the goalie of the draft, but he's going to go probably a little bit before that, I would imagine, probably between the 15 to 25 range. So I don't think he slips down to 30. I'd be surprised if he did. If he's there, I'd be curious. Prospect-wise, they have Kyle Kaiser from the OHL. He was pretty good last year. They have Daniel Vladar, who they believe in. He's a big dude. He's like 6'5".
Yeah, Darth Vladar.
Yeah. So that's a new one. Zane McIntyre is a free agent. He is not good. I wouldn't expect him back next year.
I've seen some of the mocks have this moose, the big D-man at BU, Vlasic.
Oh, Mark Edward Vlasic's cousin, I believe, is exactly who he is. Yeah, 6'6", left-shot defenseman. I believe he's going to BU.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a guy for them. That could make sense. The guy I think that would make a lot of sense for them is John Beecher. He's a center. He's played with the U.S. development team. He played behind Jack Hughes. He was a bottom six role, but they believe he has skill. That could make sense for them. There's a big 6'4" wing, too. I'm blanking on his name right now, but there's another center, Connor McMichael. That could make sense for them. He's a playmaker. I look at their center. I would prioritize a center or a right wing with that first pick. Bobby Brink is another one. I don't think he falls to you. But you need something like that, because you look at their center depth, and once you get behind Krejci and Bergeron, which these guys are approaching their mid-30s now, it's kind of dicey. It falls off a cliff.
Another NHL draft thought from Connor in Somerset. Hey, Connor.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned Bobby Brink, Ty. That's a guy that you want to hope gets to 30 with you. But talking about free agency, too, why not, if you're not going to try to go out and trade, I mean, if you're going to try to sign some of these players, go out and maybe try to get Mitch Marner. Take a flyer. Why not? Or get Chris Kreider. That's someone they've been linked to forever. Maybe move some of these younger players we don't think is going to pan out. JFK is going across overseas now. Make some of these moves. Go for it now, because you're going to have a limited time with Tuukka, Chara, and Bergeron up front. Thanks.
Thanks, Connor. What's the situation going on? Because I only just briefly saw a headline like 2 days ago. What's going on with Marner in Toronto? And because why wouldn't they be doing everything possible and bending over backwards to keep that kid there? Because I think he's a stud.
I think Marner's their best player. Like, I think he's better than Matthews and Tavares.
I do, too.
And the problem is that he wants market value. He wants to be paid appropriately. He wants to make what Matthews makes. And they're trying to say, well, we can't afford that. Well, then you shouldn't have signed John Tavares, because you know that complicated everything, right? You can't have everybody. You have a hard cap league. You got to make tough decisions. So they're trying to make some cap cutting moves to sort of facilitate a Marner re-signing, but it's going to be hard. The problem with Marner, though, is that he's an RFA, and Toronto's not going to simply let you take him. You know, if you get him, you're going to have to offer what he wants, which is $10 or $12 million, somewhere around there. A, you can't afford that, and B, do you want to give 4 draft picks to your biggest rival?
No.
I would do it, but I'm just saying that I don't think that's going to happen realistically. Offer sheets don't exist. This would be the summer for them to happen.
I just don't think that Toronto would deal with the Bruins. With
no,
a
they wouldn't.
Like that anyway,
and so that's the other part of it. So ultimately, it's a pipe dream. I'd love it. It would change the franchise. It would be the absolute best move they could make, but it's not realistic.
All right, I want to get more of your thoughts on how the Bruins should approach free agency as well coming up here. It is an agenda-free Friday. I want to hear from you. Everything on the table at 617-779-0985. I want to go back to the Celtics, though, because my Twitter mentions blew up last night in regard to the NBA draft for one reason and one reason only. People asking me the same question over and over and over again about one particular player that was selected by the Celtics. I'll tell you about that question and more on this player next in our long commercial-free segment on Felger and Maz 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob. Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
With the 14th pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Romeo Langford from Indiana University.
Boston is going to be selecting for the Sixers here. Philadelphia will send the Celtics number 24 and 33.
With the 22nd pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Grant Williams from the University of Tennessee.
The Celtics trading their number 24 pick that they got from the Philadelphia 76ers. According to reports, they'll receive the 2020 Milwaukee Bucks first round pick from Phoenix that was part of that Eric Bledsoe deal.
We have breaking news according to Shams Charania of The Athletic. Aaron Baines has been traded to the Phoenix Suns.
With the 33rd pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Carson Edwards from Purdue University.
All right, fine. Recap put together there by Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of Felger and Maz. No Felger, no Maz today. It's Jim Murray and Ty Anderson in for the guys. Matt McCarthy as well. It's the Celtics night in the NBA draft. And I was in and out on this for most of the night. I was lucky to go get a sneak preview of the new Encore in Everett last night. If you've been to the one in Vegas, it's pretty much a carbon copy. So that's it, that, and that's quite a compliment. The place is unbelievable. But boy, you walk outside and you're like, what? How? This is so strange. Everett. But be that as it may, I did pay attention to the night, and the first selection made by the Celtics last night, Romeo Langford with the 14th pick. And I kept seeing my mentions on Twitter last night. Murray, did you see who his agent was? Murray, Romeo Langford. Did you see who his agent was? Murray, did you see who Romeo Langford's agent was? And then I saw it's the same agent who represents another Celtic, Marcus Smart. For those that don't remember, the contract negotiations last year around this time, the Celtics and Marcus Smart, they were dealing with Happy Walters. That's right. Happy Walters also represents Romeo Langford. I also found it very fitting that I dressed him last night when he opened up his jacket. It looked like a circus tent. Did you see the stripes? I told him to wear that. Woo-hoo. So, yes, I've seen some of the comments already made. Speaking to the Boston Globe last night, Romeo Langford's agent, Happy Walters, to the Boston Globe. Quote, I think Smart and Rozier and those guys will toughen him up even more. Woohoo! That mentality, that go 1,000% that Romeo will be amplified with the Celtics, I think it's great. Woohoo! They would have been one of my top two places for him. Woohoo! So there you go. Newest member of the Boston Celtics, also represented by, yes, woohoo, Happy Walters. So I'd like to see, or at least I'd like to think, that behind the scenes, the dealings with Danny Ainge, much like how it was with Marcus Smart last year. Danny Ainge has to take that call, reluctantly deal with this literal clown of an agent. That's his name, by the way. The man's name is Happy Walters. If you look him up, he doesn't look like a clown. I just like to think that he is, but that's what he goes by, Happy Walters. He looks more like a finance bro who does a lot of blow. I don't know that, but that's just what he looks like aesthetically. But Happy Walters with a name like that, I can't help but think that, hey, Danny, sorry the season was a downer, but let's talk about my new client, Romeo Langford. His stock's rising. Woo-hoo! Time to get him paid, and I get my 6%. Woo-hoo! And just think of the marketing opportunities. Put this on a shirt. Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? Woo-hoo! Hey, speaking of which, Danny, you want to see my rose?
No, I really don't.
No, come on. Romeo gave it to me. Come take a look. Come closer.
I know where this is going to go, Happy. I don't.
Come on. Don't be a poor sport. Come on, come see it. Woo-hoo.
Fine. goes, by any other name, it would smell as sweet. Have a closer look. Woo! And then, of course, it squirts on Danny, and he's wet. And he's like, oh, Jesus Christ. I knew this was good. All right, fine. We'll give you the money that you want for your kid. So poor Danny Ainge has to deal with Happy Walters once again. A lot of people still clamoring for that dumb bit from last year, so I appreciate that. So, yes, I saw that it was Happy Walters that is representing Romeo Langford. But your guys' thoughts on the picks last night, the Celtics draft as a whole, Andrew and Haverhill, seems like you think the whole thing was terrible.
I mean, it's just more guys who can't shoot. Like that guy from Indiana, he shot like 27% from three. And isn't the college three like shorter than the NBA three? It's more guys who can't shoot, which drives me nuts. And that guy from Tennessee, Williams, everybody was freaking out like, oh, my God, two-time SEC player of the year. Yeah, I think that would matter, and we would all care about that if we were talking about football. So I don't care about that. I didn't like the draft. I don't like guys that can't shoot or undersized, small power forwards. I didn't think it was a great draft.
All right, Andrew. And once again, for those just joining the show, again, it's Ty Anderson, Matt McCarthy, and McCarthy in my normal spot. McCarthy, you were just kind of mocking the Celtics fans who were expecting something big, the explosions, the fireworks. Ooh, fireworks, woo-hoo! Moving up to four, maybe trading for Bradley Beal. And Ty, you kind of liked it because at least you're kind of like me. You've accepted the new reality for the Celtics. So, hey, build around the kids and hope for the best.
Yeah, and no a-holes, right? That's the culture now. I think that's the real culture they're building over there. And I think that they're really banking on Langford having his shot come back to him with his thumb being healed. That has to be one of the reasons why they're confident with him and with the pick there. Is because if you're not, I mean, 27% to the caller's point, that's a terrible percentage. We all know. But they have to be believing that he will be a much better shooter when he gets this level and when he's 100%.
Yeah, I don't mind the approach. I like the approach. Just say this is what the approach is going to be. I mean, don't try to fool me and don't try to fool anybody else.
You're tired of the bullcrap.
Of course I'm tired of the bullcrap. Every single draft, the Celtics come out there and say, oh, hey, you know, we could move up in the draft. You hear all these rumors. Oh, they're going to get a veteran star. They're going to move up in the draft. Every single year that happens. And you know what? You people, you green teamers, you fall for it hook, line, and sinker every year. So, you know what? I say this as if I'm the Celtics, I'm doing the same thing every year because people are just going to eat it up. They're not going to get mad about it. They're just going to let it slide. And you can sell them this grandiose idea that the big change is going to happen. They're going to get this big star when in actuality, they're doing the slow build, which is what they should do. But if people are willing to listen to them and willing to listen to the crap that they're going to trade up and get a veteran star, yeah, keep putting it out there. I can't say I blame them for it. I'm blaming the people out there, the green teamers who keep buying this. Stop it. Stop getting fooled.
We were talking about Don Sweeney winning GM of the Year in the prior segment, and now the offseason really starts to get going tonight as the NHL draft begins tonight. Robert in Rhode Island with some offseason Bruins thoughts. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I'd like to say, Ty, that you nailed it. Everyone loves that Coyle trade, and everybody wants to bring up that that's the crowning achievement in regards to that GM of the Year crap. But Sweeney drafted now in Sweden, JFK and Frederick, another pick that was widely blasted to be the team's third-line center. He chose not to sign a third-line center in the offseason and just hoped those two unproven guys would work out. When they didn't, they had a black hole at third-line center for the most of the entire year. So what did Sweeney have to do? He had to trade the only legitimate top six winger in the system in Donato to remedy the fact that he drafted two more busted players and failed to have a backup plan that solely relied on two players who had never paid a shift in the NHL to actually work out. So to give that guy GM of the Year award honors when he still hasn't addressed second line right wing for 3 years, we carry around $10 million in dead cap money every year, and he continues to draft more poorly than well. It just seems like a complete fraudulent waste of an award. Probably the worst robbery since Chariots of Fire won Best Picture over Raiders of the Lost Ark in '82.
Oh wow! Well, going back there, Robert, thank you very much. What was the year that what beat the year that Shawshank was up for it?
What beat Goodfellas?
Oh
too?
No! It was the stupid.
Forrest Gump?
Yes, thank you. Forrest Gump beat all those other movies in 94. Pulp Fiction, Shawshank Redemption. Get the hell out of here. It's Forrest Gump.
Re-releasing in theaters, by the way. Forrest Gump is like later this month.
No one can come up with any new ideas.
Like, we should go.
Anymore.
And I was like, nah, I don't want to go to that. I don't think. I'm going to skip that one. Jurassic Park is coming back to theaters,
that
though.
The movie has aged so terribly. It has. You know it. I know it. The world knows it. Forrest Gump does not hold up. It's corny BS.
Did you see that they were going to make a sequel to it? And then what happened is... the terrorist attacks, 9/11 happened, and the director goes, the movie doesn't have a purpose anymore. What?
Oh, Jesus.
What does that even mean? It's just that's a weird thing to say. Sense.
Right. But the Bruins, so we talked about the draft. That guy didn't agree either that the GM of the year should have been Don Sweeney. But in terms
I
of
love
some
that
of the,
call, by the way.
Some of the stuff with the offseason, how should they approach things internally? Are there targets out there in terms of free agents? Should they even maybe take a look at Corey Perry, who just bounced from the Ducks earlier this week?
No Corey Perry for me. That's like I'm out here screaming into the void that they have to get rid of David Backes. And everyone's like, I can't say that and then say, hey, let's get another David Backes in here.
Because he's 33, 34, something
like that. He's 34. His body's beginning to break down on him. If you're not good enough for the Anaheim Ducks, I have a hard time thinking you're going to help the Boston Bruins win the Stanley Cup in 2020. So I'm out on Corey Perry. Chris Kreider's a guy, but he's left wing. But I think it makes sense for what they want, what they need. A little bit of nasty, a little bit of greasy, but also some skill in their top six. I think that makes sense. The guy I'd love, but I highly, highly, highly doubt he's available, is Josh Anderson from the Blue Jackets. That is a guy that I could see really being a fit on this team with David Krejci or even with the first line for that matter. But does Columbus want to move him? Typically, you don't want to move a power forward until they're entering their 30s and all the injuries have happened. That's how the Bruins got Backes in the first place. That's how they got Bolesky in the first place. Wayne Simmons is another one, you know, who when they were really in on him, it was a little too late. So I wonder, but I would like to see one of those guys maybe get traded to Boston if possible, Kreider or Anderson.
It's our long commercial-free segment here. Matt McCarthy's going to get you caught up with the latest in the Sports Hub headlines, and I'm right back to you here on an agenda-free Friday in Felgren, Mass. As soon as someone drops off, you can get on with us at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.